You are listening to an Elim Church Christchurch podcast. We hope that you are encouraged and inspired by the message you are about to hear. And if you're ever in Christchurch, why don't you pop in and say hello? We'd love to connect.
I want a message for you this morning called Why Does the Resurrection Matter? Why does it matter? Is it enough simply to have Christ die for us and to take the punishment off us and upon himself? Why is it so important that the resurrection matters? If we haven't met, my name's Pete. I'm the pastor here. And it's wonderful to be able to share with you today. When Sarah and I, she's my wife, we're a lot younger. We were just recently married and we took off because as part of Sarah's medical training, they post you somewhere around the world. And we took off to Cambodia, and we spent 3 months in Cambodia. And one of the really great things about Cambodia is that they are very, very loose with copyright laws. In fact, they're just loose with laws in general. But in fact, I was teaching at a Christian school over there, and I was quite surprised to see that the Christian school, instead of buying all of the textbooks for their kids, which is what I would expect, they took one textbook down to the local printer, and they just printed off 50-odd copies. With no copyright issues at all. And that was standard. If you want to buy a book, you know that it's just been photocopied, no matter what book it was. And that was fantastic. But one of the really great things about Cambodia is that you could buy 100% genuine Rolex watches down at the market for 10 bucks. That's fantastic. Now, I know some people are thinking, you know, $10 Rolex, that seems a little suspicious. No, but I guarantee they were genuine because I asked the lady, I said, is this genuine? She said, she was a little affronted that I would ask, actually. She's like, what do you, of course they're genuine. It's Rolex in broken English. So I bought a couple of these watches and funnily enough, they broke after about a month. So, you know, there's that. But they were genuine. So, of course, you know, wrote an email to Rolex Worldwide saying, what's the story? I bought some of these watches. They're broken. No, I didn't do that. Of course. But their reply would have been fantastic. But there's that question you ask yourself. You're going in these places and markets, even flea markets around here, and you ask yourself, well, is that real? Someone's selling some T-shirt. Is it real? Someone's selling a brand new watch. Is it real? And we ask ourselves this question in lots of different areas. Is it real? I want to ask you that question about your hope today, the hope you have in life. Is it real? Is it real? Society is looking for hope. We're looking for hope in all kinds of different ways. We might say that young people are looking for hope and the elderly are looking for hope. And those of us who are working jobs that seem more than we can handle, we're looking for hope. But when we find something that looks like a possible alternative, we ask ourselves, is that real? Is that real? One study in 2020 after COVID, or just not after COVID, but you know, when they thought COVID was over, they did this study and found that 45% of young people aged 14 to 18 were not hopeful about the future. 45% were looking for hope but didn't sense that they had found it. And so today, on the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, I want to ask you, is your hope real? Is it real? It's an important question. I feel like some people in life just try and avoid that question. Just if we can get busy enough, if we can get kind of focused enough on the stuff around us, then maybe we don't have to answer the question about hope. That we fill our lives with distractions so we don't even think about it. Other people focus on and hope on achievable things. Things that they can achieve in their life, things like getting to the next holiday, getting to the next payday, finishing some project on the house. We focus our hope and our focus of life on achievable things. Other people focus on unachievable things with the idea that if I might focus on something that's always going to be ahead of me, I would never reach it, and therefore I would never be without purpose or hope or focus. We focus on things like that. So people push into careers with not a particular position they want to get to, but just always the next promotion. Some people push into becoming wealthy. I was sharing with somebody one time around the meaning of life, and they straight up, without a word of a lie, said, "That is why I find meaning in life in becoming wealthy, because I'm never going to attain it. It's always going to be ahead of me." For that young lady, it was sufficient that their hope was based in money because it was always ahead of her. And there's something about that I actually agree with, because there's something about hope that needs to be eternal. If we actually attain to the thing that we're hoping for, then we no longer have something to hope for. So I understand the idea that our hope has to be eternal, but also it has to be real. You can't have real hope from something that could leave you. There are far too many people in this world who used to be rich, right? Wealth left them. So the Apostle Paul takes into a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to teach to the ways that answer this question: is your hope real? How do we get real hope? Relating the resurrection of Jesus to bringing real hope for all people. Not placing our hope in things like reputation or the praise of man or money or success, but real hope found in the resurrection of Christ. This is what he says. It's on the screens and it's in your Bible as well. Under 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul's talking and he says, "For this is what I received when I passed on to you, is of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," or Peter, "and then to the disciples," to the 12, sorry. "After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom who are still living, though some have fallen asleep." Gives us hope. I want to share with you just three ways that it gives us hope, three things. First of all, and this is really on my heart today, and it's been an encouragement this morning to me, is that the hope that he gives us is real. It's real hope. So there's a line of thinking that something doesn't have to be real, it just has to be encouraging. So we think of a phoenix rising from the ashes. I don't know if you're familiar with that imagery. There's an old myth that a phoenix might rise from the ashes. It didn't actually happen. It's not real. But it's a nice thought to think that something good might come out of something that has been burnt to the ground, just ashes. We think of it, we have things like that. We think that as long as people have hope for the future, as long as people have a desire to live better, then that idea that is encouraging, that does not have to be real or true, that idea is good enough on its own. That's the line of thinking. Some people might say that the resurrection of Jesus is true in the sense that it's encouraging. It's true in the sense that it might leave you built up and going out into the world to live a better life, but not true in the sense that it didn't actually happen. I want to contest that idea that if for hope to be real, it actually has to be built on something that really happened. So the Apostle Paul makes this argument in the passage. He says that, you know what? It's not enough just to think something's a good idea. It's not enough to be just encouraged by something. It actually has to be for real. So he says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4. He said that he was buried and raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. He goes to great lengths to say this is for real, it really happened. And he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, and after that to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters, most of whom are still living. We get real hope from the resurrection of Jesus because it really happened. It literally happened. His heart was beating and then stopped beating. His brain was alive and then he went brain dead. He was dead. He was buried. He was in the ground. They put spices on his body. Actually, no, that's not true. They didn't, because they came to do it later, didn't they? Sorry. They buried him. And then he came back to life, appearing at one point to 500 people at the same time. To put this in perspective, Timaru, you know, that amazing city, a few hours south of us, has a population, an urban population of 28,000 people. So imagine you're like your average, Joe average Timaru resident. And Jerusalem, at the time of Christ, had between 20,000 and 50,000 people in it. So it's a similar, for argument's sake, it's a similar population. So imagine that you're in Timaru, and there's this local personality in Timaru who's been preaching around and doing miracles, and he was publicly tried. He went through a public trial. They sentenced him to death, and they killed him in the town square. Imagine you're somebody, and it's inconceivable as a resident of Timaru that there would be people who did not know this was going on. This is for real. This is happening. And imagine that a few days later, that person rose from the dead and started appearing to people, not just a few people, but hundreds of people. And at one time, 500 at once. There would not be a single member of the beautiful Timaru community who did not know somebody who had seen the resurrected Messiah. I understand how small towns work. We lived in one for a long time. Gossip travels like wildfire. You get just a handful of people who are experiencing something great, and they're everybody's cousin. They're someone's mate. It's someone's uncle. This is what's going on in Jerusalem. Everybody is challenged with this thought of, I know somebody who saw the risen Messiah. And Paul makes that statement. He says, we have hope. Most of them are still living. And Paul's saying, most of them, you get on the phone, you can call them up, you can ask them, 20 years ago, did you see Jesus Christ? And they'll say, yes, 100%, I saw him. And you might be doubting me, but I saw him because he picked up some food and ate. They'll say something along those lines. Paul is saying that the resurrection is real, and so there's real hope. So I want to be really clear this morning. Jesus was killed, his heart stopped, he was dead, and then on the third day, God raised him back to life. That is a powerful symbol, but it's not just a symbol, it really happened. And the reason that's important is because symbols can encourage you, but they can't save you. Because the power that you need in your life cannot just be symbolic. You need more than just encouragement. You need the power of God in your life. And the only way you can have the power of God resurrecting situations in your life is that if somebody went before you and can lead you into that place, into resurrection power. When I was a university student, I spent a summer teaching in Pakistan, and I met a lady over there whom a few months earlier had died. I met her when she was alive for the second time, but she had died, and she had been dead for hours. And because they not only believe in the power of God, but practice it in that particular community, they began to pray for her, that the dead would come back to life. They prayed, not just once, but they prayed for 20 minutes. And after 20 minutes, this lady who was dead, her hands started twitching. But she was still dead. And her hands just twitching. It must have been the weirdest experience, this dead woman who's just twitching. So they saw that as a sign from God that God's about to do a resurrection. So they continue to pray 10 more minutes. She gets up, was dead, now alive, gets up, and she brings them food, which I just love. Because it's like we love that you're resurrected, but we still need to eat, you know? Like the gender roles are still alive and well in that part of the world, resurrected or not. And which I think is just hilarious, and also reminds me of that time when Jesus healed Peter's mum. Yeah. She got up and brought them food. Just because some cultural norms are like solid. Well, why is this important? Because for hope to be real, it must be based on something solid. Symbols can't save anybody. They can motivate, but they do not carry the power to heal, to save, or to change a heart, or bring the lost home. The literal resurrection of Jesus gives us hope that the dead things in our lives might one day be raised to life. So those who have given up on employment and that area of your life feels dead to you, God has not given up. There is hope. Those whom children and grandchildren are living away from God, hope is not dead. God has not given up. To those who are dealing with sickness and injury, I want to encourage you. Resurrection power is not just a nice thought, but a tangible reality that all sickness and death have already been put under the feet of Jesus. He went to the grave and he conquered it. And so all who would follow after him walk in this trail. I'm just picturing even right now like a wedding trail, like Princess Diana's beautiful long wedding trail. People who are following in that trail are walking in resurrection power and real hope. And the second thought for you is there's real hope, but it's real hope for right now. The kind of hope we're talking about is not just eternal hope for when we die. We have hope for that, and that is deeply significant. But it is also hope for right now. It's hope for the 9th of April. It's hope for your job on Tuesday. It's hope for the family today. It's hope for right now. And so Paul is making his argument from a negative perspective. That's not a bad perspective. He's just arguing the negative. And he's saying that if the resurrection did not happen, which he believes that it does, and so do we, but if it didn't, then these things would be true. He said this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16, "For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." So if we flip that on its head and we put it positively, we find that Paul also writes in other parts of Scripture where he says the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. It lives in you, not just will live in you when you're face-to-face with Jesus in heaven, but lives in you right now. It is hope, not just for then, but also for right now. Some people live their lives as if real change, real lasting change, is either impossible or very rare. And it might not be a conscious thought, but we think, oh, you know, we might not pray for something because we actually don't think it's going to happen. It's very hard to pray if you're thinking and behaving like this. It's very hard to pray for God to move and really expect Him to move because you secretly or not so secretly don't actually have hope that the power of God can break through into your situation, and you don't really think that will happen. Sarah and I were leading a small group one time, and we were praying for somebody's knee, that it would be healed. And Sarah just kind of felt on her spirit that it was important to have this person we were praying for ask God for a healing out loud. So Sarah said, "What do you want God to do for you?" This person just kind of just muttered, and it kind of went into this awkward moment where we could have moved on. But Sarah said, no, I feel like you need to say it. What do you want God to do for you?" And this lady said, I guess I want to be healed." It was a struggle to even say it. There was a disconnect between the hope in Christ for tomorrow and the hope in God to move right now. And when she said that, I identified with that, because I too have struggled to ask for things. And I too have needed the Holy Spirit and also people around me to say, "Pete, what do you want? You've got to say it. You've got to name it. You've got to make it a goal and pray into it every day. You've got to declare it in the name of Jesus." I came to declare with you today that, come on, we're going to be a church that names things. And so I'm believing for this. I'm believing for my grandchild whose name is whatever, to be brought back to Jesus. His life doesn't look anything like it right now, but I'm believing for it and I'm hanging on to it in the name of Jesus. It's hope for right now. Romans 9 verse 11 says, "And the Spirit, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you." You can place your hope in God for right now. It might be a financial need that you just can't see the end of. God sees it. His miraculous provision is enough for you right now. It might be a relationship challenge. Feels like it's just not getting any better, any easier. There is hope in the power of God to change hearts. There is real hope. There's real hope for right now, and there's also real hope for eternity. You know, at the end of the book of Revelation, if you're unaware, is this beautiful vision given to the Apostle John, and he writes it down. And so we get this amazing picture of heaven, and this is what it says in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. John is speaking, and he's in heaven in a vision, and he says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away.'" There is real and lasting hope for those who place their faith in Jesus that extends into eternity. I just want to invite the band to come up, and we're going to stand and sing and declare resurrection power as a community in a few moments over each other and over ourselves and over our futures. But a number of years ago, my grandfather passed away. He was a wonderful man of God. He was a sheep farmer and considered it part of his ministry to raise up as many literal sheep to the highest standard as he could, and just be a person of deep integrity, a business person in his community. And we went along to pay our respects at the funeral home that was just out on John's Road. And we turn up, and the lady there says, "He's waiting for you through here." That's what she said to us. It's a lovely thought, a really kind thought. I would love in that moment to picture Granddad there with us, waiting to say goodbye. But the truth is, he wasn't there. He wasn't there. He was standing face to face with Jesus in heaven in glory. He had left this earth, and he wasn't there. So when we talk about the hope of heaven, it's not just a nice thought or a comforting idea. It's not something we say like that lady at the funeral home, that Granddad is here with us or he's been waiting for you. It's not that kind of thought. It is a rock solid truth. You can trust in it. You can hope in it. You can put your faith in it. Jesus has prepared a place for you because we know that Jesus rose from the dead, proving once and for all that to all who place their faith in Christ, to all who follow in his wake, would find that same kind of hope that would one day be resurrected in the name of Jesus. There is hope in the resurrection of Jesus. So we're going to declare some things this morning. I just want to start and say that when life is hard, there is always a better tomorrow. Because no matter how hard this life is, God will raise you up to glory. When people reject you and you feel alone, Jesus, who rose from the dead, is alive and with you today. When sickness and injury enter your life unannounced, the same power who rose Christ from the dead also has authority over any sickness or any death. Come on, as the band begins to play, should we stand and just in your own way, just begin to declare the resurrection over your life. Come on, let's just declare as the band sings that, let's declare the power of God over any and all situations. He has power over everything in your life. He has power over those financial needs. He has power over your family members. He has power over your relationships. Let's just begin just to speak life. Right where you are, just speak life. I just declare resurrection power in the name of Jesus. And life over every single person here. I just declare that the best is yet to come. That there is nothing that we will face that my God will not walk with me in. I just declare in the name of Jesus, let's declare that what God has started, He will bring to fruition, because God did not leave Jesus dead and in the grave, even though forgiveness had been won, but God raised Him up to glory. I declare that in the name of Jesus, that every knee would bow to the glory of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's declare some resurrection power this morning.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Church Christchurch podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit www.elamchristchurch.org or connect at one of our services every Sunday at 10 a.m.